CNBC's Big January continues with the JPM Healthcare Conference, the Amex Golf Tournament, Inauguration Day, and the World Economic Forum in Davos. Get ahead of the game. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio, you guys with us, 215-592-9494. We'll get back to all the conversation about the pass game. A victory yesterday for the Eagles. That is now 9 in a row, ties a franchise record, and the Eagles officially have made the postseason for the fourth straight year. On with us right now to talk about it after his call on the game yesterday is Merrill Reese. Merrill, how are you doing today?
I am well. That sounds awfully good, 11-2.
It certainly does. 9 wins in a row sounds very good, too. And Merrill, yesterday, a different kind of game. What did you make of the way the Eagles won that yesterday? It was different, and they needed a big defensive stand at the end to seal that thing.
Well, they did, but that's going to happen. I'm not surprised. I thought this Carolina game was going to be very, very tough because they are a team that has played well for about a month, and you just can't keep playing great football week after week after week. You're going to have a lull. But still, I called it an escape at the end, and it was an escape. But they still won, and that's the big thing. Their people start to worry. Well, they had to fight their way back and just about win it. Is this going to be like last year when they collapsed when they were 10-1? Absolutely not. There is no relation between these two teams. There's so many things that are better this year. It's not even funny. So I think it's just kind of a lull, but still, it's not a loss.
Well, that is the silver lining, right? Because yesterday they didn't play their best, but they got out with a win, which always helps kind of move the thing forward. And I agree with you, Merrill. They're not going to collapse, and they've already clinched a playoff spot, which is great. But, Merrill, yesterday the pass game was very choppy. They only had a little over 100 yards passing, and you take away the sack yardage, and it's even, you know, the net yardage was even less than that. Merrill, what do you make of the way Jalen has played recently and yesterday? Because we got to give him a lot of credit for not turning the ball over, and he's done that so well for so long, but they're also not creating as many big plays in the pass game as they have in recent memory.
But you know what? I thought he played a great game in Baltimore. I thought that was an excellent game. He played a great game in Los Angeles. They're just not throwing the ball that much. This is a running team. This is a team that runs first. It's kind of an old-school football thing, but when you have Saquon Barkley and a great offensive line, you work it. And this is what is the most productive part of this football team. So, yeah, Jalen missed a few passes yesterday, but he also, when they were going down and he had to throw a perfect ball to A.J. Brown, it was right there. And then he rolled left and on the sideline hit Devontae Smith. That was a great throw. And then hit Smith for the touchdown and Calcaterra for another touchdown. Look, he did enough right things to get it done.
He did. Merrill, what was your thought at the end of the game, the decision by Nick Sirianni, which worked out well for him because they punted and they pinned them on the 2-yard line and made it a very challenging drive for Carolina. But it was an interesting decision he had there because it wasn't, you know, Merrill, that wasn't a 65-yard field goal. That's one in the past. I think the Eagles may have attempted that with Jake Elliott, but Jake's obviously struggling right now, not having his best year. He had missed one earlier and an extra point, which was negated. What did you make of Nick Sirianni's decision to not try for the field goal, which would have made it a 2-score game with about 2 minutes to go?
I think the biggest factor there was that it was into the wind, which makes it not exactly a 54-yard field goal, probably close to a 58- or 60-yard field goal. And I thought his decision was, although conservative, I thought it was the right decision.
Well, and it worked. And a good job by the punt unit and the special teams to pin him down there. Merrill, how about the other side? You know, you mentioned you weren't shocked that it was a close game. You thought it could be. I thought it was kind of interesting watching Bryce Young, a guy that people thought was a bust, you know, 5 weeks ago. I thought he played well against the Eagles defense. I thought they really had a, if not for Slay pushing that ball away, that game might have went the other way late in that game.
No, he is definitely emerging. He was considered to be a mistake. Everyone was yelling last year, why didn't they pick Stroud? Well, they didn't. They picked Bryce Young, and then they benched him. But he is coming on. He is a bright young quarterback. There's no doubt about it. I think you have to be patient. But I think he's got a lot of talent, and he showed some of the escapability and the ability to make critical plays at the right time that he did at Alabama. I think he's going to be a very good quarterback.
Yeah, he might be. He might be turning his career around here. Merrill, let's end with this. When LeSean McCoy set the Eagles' single-season rushing record, if you had told me it'd be broken one day, I'd said, all right, maybe. But I didn't think it'd be broken in 13 games. Merrill, yesterday wasn't even one of Saquon's best of the year, but it was still really good, and he still broke the record. How about that, him doing it in 13 games here to set the Eagles' single-season record?
Well, I think we are clearly looking at the best running back in modern Eagles history. No doubt about that. He is so, so special. He's dedicated. He's down to earth. He's a great teammate. It's really an amazing thing that the Eagles were able to pick him up, that the Giants let him go. I start every day by saying, thank you, New York Giants.
I think you and everyone listening says the same thing. Merrill, have a great rest of your week. We'll talk to you on Sunday for a pregame show before the Steelers game. Thank you, Merrill.
Thank you, Joe. Thank you, Hugh.
Hey, have a good one.
There he goes. Merrill Reese there with some thoughts on the game. And of course, Saquon breaking the record yesterday. It was almost subtle the way he broke it yesterday, because he didn't have the 75-yard or the 50-yarder.
It wasn't like it would have been if it would have happened last week.
Yeah, but you know what it was? It was more like he just kept getting 8, 10, 12.
Grind. He was like a little bit of a grinder.
Yeah. It's pretty amazing, though. Even his not electric runs sometimes still go for 12 or 15. If he had a couple 18 yarders yesterday, it's like he just burst through the first level of the defense so quickly, and he's into the second level. It's like, whoa, you know, that looked like it was nothing, and all of a sudden it's 12 yards or whatever. 215-592-9494. All right, let's get back to the phone lines here. A lot of people want to react to a win, but obviously this passing game is just not right now. And I put it on Hurts. I think this is more on Jalen Hurts than it is everybody else. Hugh, how do you look at it? Like, when you parse the issues with the passing game, is this mostly on Jalen?
You know, it's funny. I tried, because I knew where this could potentially go, and I tried to sit back and think about this objectively. And I'm a long talk a little bit, Joe, so bear with me.
Go ahead.
I feel like this is a culmination of a few things. I feel like he's a part of it, no question about it, because there's a lot of throws that we complained about even early in the year that we were wondering why he didn't see him. And I can't profess to know how a quarterback goes through his regressions, especially Jalen Hurts, because I think it's all different for each of them. But there's a lot of times when you're out there where you showed me a play this morning where A.J.'s clearly running free, and if he sees him, that's probably a touchdown. And that's probably one of the biggest reasons why A.J.'s frustrated, because he's had a few of those. A couple weeks ago, there was a play where A.J. was an out route on the sideline, and Jalen threw it somewhere in his vicinity.
But not at him.
But not at him.
Yeah.
So there's some frustration there. I don't know what it is. Maybe he has something going on in his personal life. I don't know. I'm speculating. But I think it's a little bit of that. I think that he's not – the offense has changed to the point, because we pointed out that he's more in shotgun now instead of under center. So there's probably a little bit of him and probably the offense and the way that the players are ran, because, you know, we still talk about some of the plays that are ran at the beginning of the game that you're looking at like, why the hell are they running that? So I think it's a little bit of both.
Yeah, and there's probably more to everything in a game of football with 11 players on each side that we understand. I mean, you live that. All I know is when I see guys open, it's hard for me to say that's on the coordinator. It's hard for me to say it's on the head coach. It's hard for me to say it's on the receivers, who I'm sure will catch the ball if it's thrown to them. These guys are great players. They've poured so much resource into this passing game, and they can't throw the ball. I mean, that's an issue right now. 215-592-9494. Let's go to the phone lines here. Your reaction to the game, the win, Jalen Hurts, the passing game. Derek is up on WIP. Hey, Derek.
Yo, just give me a second. Listen, when you keep saying the net passing yards, that you kind of like just pounding on top of him. You know what I mean? Because he did, you know what I mean?
Well, I don't think so.
If he threw for 300 yards and he got sacked four times and lost 25 yards, like, you wouldn't be saying that. He obviously had a horrible game. This is what I came up with.
Mm-hmm.
If you watch some of his interceptions, right, and even like last year and the year before, like when y'all they got this whole little stat like turnover worthy plays, right?
Yeah,
that's a stat. But there's receivers that can make catches that's not going to be a turnover worthy play. Can A.J. Brown make those catches? Yep. Can Devontae Smith make those catches? Yep. But I feel like a lot of Jalen Hurts' interceptions this year were like plays that, like the one against Green Bay where he was like running against whatever and he threw it in the end zone and A.J. had slipped. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's the one where Ike and Baldy was arguing about. Like, if A.J. didn't slip, you know, that's not an interception. Whether he catches it or not, it's not an interception. There's just some yards I saw where it's like, damn, like he had confidence in his receivers and they didn't make the play, ended up being an interception. So I just feel like now he's so far into his own head. And if he ain't 100% sure, that it's going to get to that receiver. Like,
yeah,
and that's the scary
it.
Part. You know what I'm saying? And that's the scary part. Like, I know OG Wade, he loves Hurts and all that, and he makes some good points. Prior to this week, I wasn't really, really concerned about him because we are winning, like, 9 straight. I'll take that. But I just really, really think that a lot of those early turnovers have just gotten him really, like, in his head. And his girlfriend, she is pregnant, man. Like what you said, he got some, you know what I mean?
Well, you know, Derek, I think you might be right that he's gun-shy to throw it anywhere near traffic. I
watched him. Yeah. Go watch some of those interceptions he threw. Like, even the one in Atlanta on that last drive, like, it looks like it's a bad throw. But Devontae, he kind of, like, turned the wrong way. And the other one he had in New Orleans where Devontae got bumped off his route. You understand what I'm saying? This is a couple of them Johns where it just got – and he gets all the blame for that. And this town is tough, bro. So – He's definitely in his head, man, but he gotta get out of it.
I think you're right.
We need him.
Well, of course, he's the quarterback. They need him. Yeah, there's no question. Derek, it's a good phone call. All right, Hugh, let me ask you a question. Because I'm hearing Derek. I think he might be right. Mm-hmm. He's in his head. He doesn't want to throw it into traffic. And he's like almost like double clutching, right? Like he's open. I don't know if he's open. I'm going to hold it. And then he holds the ball forever. And then it becomes a sack or an incompletion or a check down or whatever. Hugh, if we can see this, right? Like if Derek can see it and I can see it, I'm sure Mike Tomlin could see it, right? And they're coming in here Sunday. My concern now is the book is out.
You got T.J. Watt.
Yep. My concern is the book is out, right? So if Jalen feels more comfortable throwing it one-on-one on man coverage, if I'm a defensive coordinator, Hugh, I'm not playing any more man, right? I'll just play zone and make him think, right? Like they could do different things with zones and they could disguise things. I feel like the book now is make him think, he'll hold it, and then we'll force him into a bad play.
Yeah, but the problem with that is this. Everybody, and follow me on this, folks, because everybody doesn't have the personnel to make that viable.
So I agree, but don't the Panthers have no personnel and they made it viable?
That's the thing, and that's why, like, I know that's probably what everybody in the car is saying, but who did they have on that defense that would make that viable? I would say a comparison would be when you watch Todd Bowles in that defense, the way that he runs his defense. He did a lot, and he had enough personnel up front. And Mike Tomlin might be the same thing because T.J. Watt is an X factor. He's definitely the X factor. They were able to, in that game, they were able to confuse Jalen, make him hold on to the ball. And part of that was because you didn't have your guys out there with you. I do know that.
Oh,
you didn't
back
have
your in playmaker. Tampa. Back in
yeah,
Tampa.
In Tampa. You didn't have your guys, so maybe it's a little bit different. But there's a lot that goes into that. And I think yesterday – I think there was twofold that happened yesterday. It was a little bit of that. I don't really so much think that Carolina had the personnel to make Jalen confused. I feel like more it was about we went into the game saying that we were going to throw the ball a lot more. And for whatever reason, if it's Jalen, if it's Kellen Moore's play calling or whatever, that it didn't happen the way that they thought it was going to happen.
Mm.
So then you had to switch gears. You had to go back to running Saquon the ball a little bit more. You know, so I think it was a little bit of that. It's hard to say because, like you said, it's not like Carolina's defense was that dynamic. Jadeveon Clowney didn't even play. So it's one of those things where you look at and you're trying to figure out what it was. I chalk it up to being a clunker game. And you have those from time to time in the NFL. And yesterday, it was just super egregious the way that the quarterback played, and everybody was frustrated.
Yeah, well, it is. And my concern is it's trending down, right? Like, the passing game's – we're supposed to be getting better here. I mm-hmm. think it's getting worse. The last 2 weeks, it's been bad. And I think in a comment earlier with the sometimes passer rating or QBR sometimes can mask it. You look at it's 102. Well, okay, but
yeah, I didn't understand that because it just looked weird when I saw that.
I'm going to give you a comparison. Like in baseball, sometimes someone says, well, that guy doesn't have many errors. Well, he also can't get to the ball, right? That's the way I view almost the Hurts thing. Yes, his pass rating is nice, but he's also not throwing a pass that could be a touchdown if he just sees it. So, like, that's its own kind of issue that a stat's not mm-hmm. going to tell you. We saw it yesterday, and it wasn't right.
Like, this is why I don't buy the clunker thing. Did that game feel like more of an outlier for a passing game or more of the norm?
The norm.
Well, I think it was more egregious because of the way it happened.
And who they were playing.
And I think that it was more egregious because the defense didn't play that great either. Like, I think that's the one thing that we're tending to forget because we're so focused on the quarterback. Like, the other side of the ball didn't have their greatest moments either. They gave up some plays.
But you're right about that here.
But that's more uncharacteristic. Like, I think now the passing game is like, okay, enough is enough. The defense, you're almost like, all right, you know, they're allowed to not have their best game sometimes.
Let me tell you, this is why I think it's egregious for most people, because Joe's been alluding to this for the last couple of weeks. And I think subconsciously people are, like, Joe's been saying, hey, this passing game isn't great, but we're like, hey, we're winning. So yesterday, it was more on display. And that's what people, because now we're getting closer to this bus trip to Louisiana. So now you're looking at it, and you're like, well, shucks.
we got a bus ready to roll out there.
This bus is going
to
stall in Detroit if this passing game doesn't get any
better. First of all, okay, I get what you're saying. Because I was like, we're not even going to Detroit. We're going to Louisiana. But I get what you're going.
Figuratively.
Yeah. But I feel like this is going to sound a little crazy, especially the way it's been. This was more of an outlier than any other week, in my opinion. And that's what I choose to believe. You might call me a little, you know, blind or looking through Eagles colored glasses, but I just think it was more of an outlier this week.
But if it was such an outlier, why would A.J. Brown's frustrations boil
because
over
I think,
now this time?
I think because his ass was running down the field by him damn self the first couple drives.
But if this was a one-time get that after the game, it's not.
This is when the frustrations boiled over. Because let me just paint a picture for you, Kyle. This is, I think, what happened. Okay, A.J., and this is me speculating. I don't know this to be true. But okay, AJ, we're gonna get you the ball. We're gonna get you involved early in the game.
Mm.
So they sent AJ on a go route because that was a go. Like, and nobody was over, and Jalen didn't see it. For whatever reason, Jalen didn't see it. Mm. And AJ super pissed at that point because he knew at that point, if he don't get his, it's probably gonna be tough sledding from
AJ
that
Brown
day on.
Has not gotten double digit targets since week one.
At this point, that's a 3-hour cardio workout for A.J. Brown. I mean, that's what Sundays have become.
And that's why he was why he was frustrated. Because that right there, when you see this play, it was the second play of the game, Joe?
Yep.
When you see the second play of the game, dog, yeah, that's frustrating. That is super frustrating. And so at that point, he's probably calling Jalen everything but a child of God. He's trying to hold it in. I'm not mad at him for being upset because – it's been a tough couple of weeks for the receivers.
Yeah,
it has been.
There's no question. Let's go to Will in the Northeast. What's up, Will?
Oh, Dream Team, how y'all doing today?
What's going on?
We're trying to figure this out, Will. We got a win, but it didn't look right.
Okay, let me pull an A.J. Brown on y'all today.
Okay, run around, and then we'll get back to you afterwards. Go ahead.
Okay, now this is the thing, right? Y'all said just last week, Jalen is in the back seat. Oh, this is Saquon team. Mm-hmm. Everything Saquon. And guess what? That's how the beginning of the season started. It wasn't – see, everything was good until, you know, it started to collapse a little bit because Saquon can't do everything. Like I was saying last week, you know, it's all about when you say something, just make sure, you know, we saying what we need to say. Because the whole thing is, with this Saquon situation is, you know, everything was based off the run. So now that Jalen got the pass, they're not for real, I don't even think they had that many pass plays intact. And this was a game where you want to open that playbook up and where you want to, you know, test some of these pass plays out. But they didn't do that because they want to stick to the run. They want Saquon to break the record. They want Saquon. Now everybody said, Jalen, come out of that back seat. We need you. We need you now. Okay, now we need him. So now everybody want to throw shade on Jalen, and the whole thing is they built this team around Saquon. So the whole thing is they gotta incorporate, like I say, keep a balance, and that's where we're going wrong. And now next week we got to face Pittsburgh with a hell of a run team and a pretty good passing team. And guess what? The defense is going to really get battle tested next week, and so is the offense. So now we got to really include A.J. Brown. We got to include Smith. And I'm going to end it with this. I saw Smith and A.J. toward the end of the game on the sideline talking like, damn, man, he keep overlooking me. He missed me on like three different times where we could have scored probably. You know what I'm saying? But I blame a lot of this on basing the whole entire season around Saquon, man.
That's what it comes down to.
So, Will, I think that they're starting to get frustrated, too. And, Will, it's a good phone call. I mean, Hugh, I'm starting to get the sense, and we heard a little bit yesterday from Jalen and AJ, that the idea is like, all right, everyone knows the passing game isn't very efficient right now. But I think they're also starting to realize they're only getting so many opportunities each game, and it's making it more like magnified when they miss one, right? Like if you get 30 throws and you miss one, whatever, we got 28 or 29 left, right? If you only get 20 and you miss one, like that's a higher percentage of what you have, and it magnifies the whole thing.
And that's why I feel like it bubbled over, because that play that you showed me, Joe, it was a wide open play. That would have been probably a touchdown or at least a 50 to 60 yard gain.
So in his mind, like that was my shot.
That was it. And so that's why he was frustrated. I think it was more exacerbated yesterday because of all of those things. The fact that it was the Carolina Panthers. The fact that there was probably more of a conscious effort to say, hey, we're going to get you guys involved today. And it didn't happen. And they're frustrated. Do I think they can move past this? Yes. Do I think it's probably more, we're making it more than it probably really is? Yes. Because you got to think, that was right after the game. And that was a tight, highly contested game. So you're asking a question, and he's answering it honestly. He's an emotional guy. Mm-hmm. We know that about AJ. He's an emotional guy. Is he a bad guy? I still don't believe that he is. Is he a playmaker? Yes. Does he want to make plays?
Of course.
Heck yes. He wanted to make plays. You know, and everybody say, well, he got his money. Yeah, that he got his money, but he still, there's a certain pride that goes along with being one of the highest paid receivers in the game and going out there and producing week in and week out, especially when you bust your butt all week long, you know, and the game plan. Think about it like this, people. There was a game plan that was put in this week that probably featured a lot of those two guys. Probably featured them a lot. And it didn't happen. That's frustrating. That's almost like preparing for a performance at a club somewhere, and you've been doing all this stuff, and you got all, and then all of a sudden you find out at the last minute that your performance has been canceled. So it's frustrating. So you know everybody's, oh, he shouldn't have said it. Da-da-da. He spoke the truth. The quarterback basically backed him up when he said it. Get back to the drawing board and make sure it doesn't happen again.
Yeah, they got to fix it. I mean, that's the bottom line is this passing game as it stands today, I just don't believe it's good enough to win the Super Bowl. The team, they got a lot. I mean, they got a defense good enough to win the Super Bowl. They got a running game, an offensive line, and they should have a passing game good enough. But right now, it's not. 215-592-9494. All right, your phone call is coming up on the other side. And we grabbed a couple moments from the broadcast yesterday. One, Mike Quick with the play Hughes referencing early in the game, the check down to Jahan Dotson. You'll hear Mike Quick describe what Jalen didn't see. And then Mark Sanchez in the TV broadcast, critical of Hurts and what he wasn't seeing on the field yesterday. 215-592-9494 for Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP. Tackle the NFL action on FanDuel in partnership with Valley Forge Casino, America's number one sportsbook. Because right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets if you win. The FanDuel Sportsbook app gives you everything you need to place live bets on the NFL all in one place. So when you get a hunch in the middle of a game, you can check out the latest stats, view live play-by-play, and so much more on the same page where you place your bets. Visit FanDuel.com/GIGLIO to join today. You'll get started $150 of bonus bets if you win your first $5 bet. That's FanDuel.com/GIGLIO. Never waste a hunch and make every moment more with FanDuel, official sportsbook partner of the NFL. FanDuel Sportsbook is the official partner of 94 WI.